chapter 3. I mentioned it to a couple of people up here, but we still don't get the voices through the monitors right here. So just wanted to put a shout out to the sound people. So Colossians chapter 3. Look with me in start in verse 1, but we're going to skip around a little bit as we read through this. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So verse 1 and 2, we are to seek those things which are above and set our affections on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look on down through there. Go all the way down to verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Notice it's just giving us commands. Giving us commands. Giving us commands. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Remember, charity is love in action. And I would also like to point out again the King James Version of the Bible is superior to the other versions. Amen. In that most other versions change charity to love, and that's not the strictest definition. Charity is love in action. That is what the Greek word is. Love in action. Charity. Charity. Above all these things, put on charity, love in action. In other words, not just telling somebody you love them, but doing it, showing them, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15 is our verse tonight, and we've preached this before, and this goes along with Thanksgiving tonight. I just felt led again to touch on the verse. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. This was pointed out again by Brother Wiggins, and we've touched on it very lightly last Sunday night. But we ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a thankful people. Here, Paul is going through a list and saying, okay, we understand and know that Christ is everything, that Christ is all in all, that Christ, as in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and therefore, we ought to, here's a list of things we ought to do as Christians. And one in that list is to be thankful, to be thankful. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And we think about this thankfulness and praising him. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Hebrew word for thanksgiving and praise are synonyms. They can be interchangeable in the Hebrew. Thanksgiving or thanking, being thankful, and praise. Isn't that something? How they can be used together. We think about the Psalms. The Psalms are made up of psalms of praise and thanksgiving. They're made up of, by the way, that's not the majority of the Psalms. The majority of the Psalms are teaching Psalms that teach us the history of Israel or whatever it may be. But there are many of the Psalms that are praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. We ought to be a thankful people. Give thanks, to sing and to shout joyfully as we think about praising him, being thankful. Being unthankful as a society equals or creates, produces moral decline. And so this is what we mentioned, and we didn't turn to the verses. I want to do that tonight. I want you to see these verses afresh. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Being an unthankful people as a society produces moral decay. I mean, don't we see it today? We live in such an unthankful world. Amen. And the moral decay, you say, well, how can that be? I mean, it just immorality causing all of this? No, it's on top of that. It's foundation. What's causing that? And Romans, Paul tells us it's because of ungratefulness. It's because of a lack of being thankful. Look at chapter 2, Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. This will be a pretty familiar passage, and we'll cover a little bit of this as we go. Remember, Romans chapter 1, God is saying that Paul is saying we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. The rich man is a sinner. The religious man is a sinner. The pagan man is a sinner. Right? The society, the upper crust of society, they're sinners. And that's what first chapter 1, 2, and part of 3 covers. We are all sinners by nature. We're all selfish by nature, all sinners by nature. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Can I remind you again that God hath placed on every person who comes into this world the law of God, has stamped it on their heart. Romans tells us that. And here is saying that every man, all mankind, every person born in this world has some light. And again, we are separated from the animals by our moral awareness. Moral awareness. We are morally aware when we're born into this world, unlike an animal. Animal acts on instinct only. We as human beings, we can make it a choice whether to react upon our instincts. For verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul says, listen, God is clearly visible in creation. Amen. The hand of God is clearly visible in creation. Not that God is in creation, but God is clearly evident that God created all things. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world. It's talking about his attributes. The invisible things of him. The invisible things of God. His attributes are clearly seen in the creation so that they are without excuse. This world's without excuse. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are no such thing as atheists. They're just God rejectors. They don't want to be accountable to a creator. Because that, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Neither were thankful. So they understand and they know there is a God, and they reject him. And they are therefore not thankful for what he has given us. I got out of bed this morning, put my feet on the floor, went in, you know, to try to do something with this. I don't have to comb my hair, which is awesome. It's awesome. Embrace the baldness. Put on the clothes, went out to the car. The car started. Got in my car. Drove to the donut shop, saw it was closed. Nearly cried. How spoilt are we? How spoilt are we? I mean, my car in particular, got in the car and my seats heat up. How spoilt are we? I mean, even my old Duramax, my old truck, 235,000 miles or whatever, right down the road, faithful as can be, not like them Dodges and Fords, just faithful. How spoilt are we? How spoilt are we? Think about it for a moment. How much food did you eat the last two or three days? How much food was available for you to eat the last two or three days? How spoilt are we? And what Paul's saying here is, he's saying that everyone born in the world knows there's a God, because it's clearly seen. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare who and what God is. His attributes are clearly seen, but they reject Him. Even though it's clear that there is a God, they glorify Him not as God, and therefore are not thankful. They're not thankful to Him. They're not thankful to Him for the air they breathe. They're not thankful to Him for the turkey and dressing we had this last week. And that's such a silly thing. I'm saying because they reject Him, they're not thankful. And therefore, the Bible says that God gives them up. Notice what it says here. It says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why? Because of the rejection of God, because they weren't thankful for what God had given them and what God has done for them, all the great things He's given to us. We are the center of God's creation. God created man and made him the center of His creation. I know I say this a lot, but God made everything. He could have made everything black and white. He could have made all food to taste the same. He could have made one fish. He could have made one cow. He could have, but no, He gave such variety. Look at thousands and thousands and thousands of different variety of things and food. And just, we are spoiled. Amen. Because we are the center of creation. God, they have rejected Him and are not thankful. And therefore, they're vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They look at us like, oh, you guys are just a bunch of, country bumpkins. Or, they look at us as, we're not intellectually, relevant. If you believe that God created all things, you believe in the early earth, that God created everything about 6,000 years ago, we're perceived absolutely as fools. If you believe the Bible and you live according to the Bible and you direct your family according to the Bible, you direct your finances according to the Bible, you direct your life according to the Bible, the world sees you as a fool. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. We're not the fool they are. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I'm telling you, we live in that day. We live in a day where their God is creation. Their God, their God is the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. This is not the only spot where it talks about people, again, worshiping, the creation. We know that in Isaiah's day, they were worshiping bugs, It's amazing to me how that someone who denies God and then is given over to that mind, immoral mind that God does, because they're unthankful, that they begin to worship things that are just weird. We live in a society that worships creation. That's what the basis of climate change is. It used to be global warming. They can't even make up their own minds what's happening. So they said, I don't know if it's going to get cold or hot. We'll just call it climate change. I love some of those memes that show the predictions they've made over the last, 100 years. We're all going to die be frozen to death. We're all going to burn up. And then finally, oh, my goodness. Worshiping the creature more than the creator. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because they rejected God. They rejected God. They have changed, verse 25, changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Think about it. For this cause, why? Look at this. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. What? Why did He give them up? Because they rejected God? And therefore were unthankful. Unthankful. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves with recompense their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind, to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I love how disobedient to parents is in that list. Well, we live, don't we? I mean, just think about it. Kids who won't mind their parents. Hello, teenagers. Look at the list. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So clearly, Paul says that those who reject God, who has made himself known in his creation, that he is clearly seen in creation, that he has given them up, he has given them over. He has, they profess to be wise, but they're fools. And therefore, God has given them up to reprobate mind. This chapter clearly teaches and makes it very clear that homosexuality is a sin. That homosexuality is wrong. This chapter makes it very clear, that adultery is wrong. Amen. Amen. The sexual sins are wrong. They're sin. They're not just wrong, they're sin. By the way, sin is breaking God's law. Sin is rebellion against God. I was going to touch on that this morning and remind ourselves that we are born rebels. We are born rebels. We are born in enmity with God. We're born rebels. We're born naturally selfish. We're born sinners. And there's a list of sins, and it puts unthankfulness right there with them. And being unthankful causes those things. Does it make sense? Keep turning it over some. Go back and reread this 3, 4, 5 times. The first time I heard a preacher preach this, and he just preached on the one verse and said, and they were unthankful. And then he gave the list afterwards. He said, all that list afterwards is because they were unthankful. If you go back and you look at it, it's true. Seems like a small thing. Being unthankful is a small thing. Not to God. Amen. Not to the Lord. Parents, it is important that we teach our children to be thankful. Amen. Like I said last Sunday night, it's important that you take the time to train them to be thankful. That you teach them to say, thank you. That you make them say, thank you. And adults, we too can get in the habit of just taking for granted everything that happens, you know. I've said this several times. Be careful when you are dealing with people. It's okay to say please when you're asking someone to do something. It's okay to say please when you ask your teenage kids to do something. Does that shock everybody? No. It's okay to say thank you to your kids when they do something. That you be the example. of thankfulness. You say, well, that's a small thing. No, no, no. It starts when the kids are small. You teach them to be thankful, and you teach them to be thankful for the things you do, the things you do for them. They'll be thankful for the things God does for them too. Be thankful. Let's look over to 2 Timothy. I want the other list. Look at the other list. 2 Timothy is somewhere in the New Testament. If you have a new Bible like mine, it may take you a little bit to get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We preached this chapter before. This, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, dangerous times shall come in the last days. Who is Paul speaking to? I kind of want to point this out again. Paul's speaking, he's writing to Timothy. He's speaking to Christians, if you would. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We don't see that today, do we? I don't know. I'm pointing these things out and you know them. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But again, watch this list. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Notice this again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Notice the list. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Notice who's addressing here. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, these things can even happen among children of God, Christians. Notice the list, though. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Can I remind you that homosexuality is unnatural? Amen. It goes against nature. Right. Can I remind you that it's a sin? Amen. Unnatural. But in that same list, in that same list is unthankfulness. Unthankful. We as Christians need to be a thankful people. Who is this list written to in chapter 3 of Timothy? Christians. We also could be unthankful. We need to be careful. We ought to, and we need to be thankful. Being thankful does not come natural. Gratitude is not a part of our nature. Anything we have to be taught to do is not a part of our nature. Anything you do naturally, anything you can do, let me say what I've written down, anything you do without being taught is part of your nature. A duck, you don't have to teach a duck how to swim. A duck naturally swims. But you have to teach a child how to swim. A person has to learn how to swim. It doesn't come naturally. My dad's here. Everybody has their first swimming story, right? My first swimming story was in a pool at my great-grandfather's apartment complex. I'm making sure Dad, I'm letting him go like this because that's what I remember. And Dad teaching me how to swim. I won't go into the details, but... Yeah, it wasn't as bad as John Wayne does, you know what I'm saying, when he just kind of throws the kid out there in the creek and says, go for it, you know? I mean, he was there for me, but it was questionable. He'd have saved me. Right? Everybody has kind of that story. You learn how to swim, you throw it out there, here you go. Swimming does not come natural to human beings. We have to be taught how to swim. A duck naturally swims. Naturally swims. And being thankful does not come to us naturally. It does not come natural. We are selfish by nature. I've never said that before, so. We are by nature ungrateful, and therefore we have to be taught to be thankful. And we have to remind ourselves to be thankful. I know I've practiced this over the years, and I don't do it as much as I should, but writing thank you notes. And I know you can thank somebody by, you know, texting them or messaging them, but it's another thing to take the effort and time to write it down with a pencil or a pen. That still happens, young people. You can write stuff down on a piece of paper, and you send it in the mail. It's the system that the government's put together that in this day and age is lousy. But if you put it in there, it might make it. Hopefully it will. But something in the mail, something that says you're thankful for what they've done. We've tried to practice that over years. Some of you have received notes from me from time to time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to be a thankful people.
Amen.
Thankful people. And to show that thankfulness to others and to our Lord, of course. How are we to be thankful? Recognize all that we have comes from God. Recognize all that. Why were they given up to, you know, a reprobate mind? Because they did not recognize that everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything we have is from above.
Amen.
We don't have no stuff. J.C. House quote. We don't. It's not my stuff. God's given me everything that I have, and we need to recognize that. If we're going to be thankful, we need to recognize that God has given us everything. Everything comes from Him. We've talked about from the pulpit many times my wife and I's first home. We got married right out of high school. I was 18, she was 17. We got married in the July 31st, so the end of the summer after our senior year. And my high school computer teacher had a small house in downtown metropolis of Bowie, Texas, that he said we could have rent free if we would do some work on it. Well, we find out that it needed a lot of work. But he supplied the material. We just supplied the labor, so we painted it. We put down a plywood floor that had rotted out in the bathroom and reset the toilet, reset the bathtub. Never put any flooring down besides that. It was just a 3/4-inch piece of plywood on the. We lived there for almost a year, and that's all we ever had. And there was a big, like, 2-inch gap around the bathtub. And it was a pier and beam house, so the air from under the house would come up and over into the bathtub as you were bathing. There was no shower. There were no doors on any of the rooms. We hung curtains. I put ceiling fans up in a couple of the rooms so we'd have light. There was a big old hornet nest. Not yellow jackets, not those red things. I'm talking about the real thing where they make the big hive, the big gray hive. It was in the wall of that house. And so you get up in the morning sometimes and you look in the window and you go, man, there's like 50 of those hornets just inside the house hitting. We found out Windex will kill them. Try it. Windex will kill it. Windex will kill them. One time, one got into my suit jacket and stung me in the back, and that was something. The front door, I had to put a new front door on the house, but I didn't. I installed it okay. It went in and whatever, but I never put the trim around the door so you could see outside. He didn't supply me trim. I don't know what the deal. Just there it was. Had the old, the gas stove, you know, for the heat. There was only one in the entire house that was in the living room. Maybe a small one in the bathroom. Okay, my wife corrects me. Small one in the bathroom. So when you woke up in the morning, if it was cold outside, your breath, you could see your, you know, cold. And I could go on to describe this house, and many of you have heard me talk about it. It was something. It was free. I'm thankful. I was thankful at the time. We were ecstatic. I was going to Bible college. I was driving from Bowie to Fort Worth 4 days a week, you know, and having a regular job there for a while. And, man, I was so thankful. I had no rent payment. No rent. The house is still standing. Barely. It's a storage storage something for an electrical company now, so the windows are out of it and whatever, the house barely standing. Oh, the one of the great things about that house was the spiders. Yeah, it was awesome. They were daddy long legs, but there would be like balls of them. Some of y'all have maybe seen that before. There are lots of things, again, we could talk about. But I promise you, as a young married couple, we didn't care, number one. Number two, so thankful. That computer teacher, Mr. Walker, Benny Walker, some of y'all have met him from time to time. He's starting to get in bad health, but we still talk and we still communicate. I'm so thankful for him. Everything comes from God.
Amen.
And God put a high school computer teacher in my path to help me get through Bible college by not having a house payment. God provides everything. We need to be thankful and not forget where our stuff comes from, that we're just merely managers of the things that God has given us, and we ought to be good stewards of that. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. We're so forgetful. We're so forgetful. How many of you lost your keys this last week at least once? Right? How many of you lost your cell phone and had to ping it? And apparently they've changed it here in the last day or two. You got to figure out how to ping it now. It's a different way. Some of y'all figured it out. Right? We're so forgetful. And let's not forget. And I know I'm speaking again to the choir tonight. Let's not forget where things come from. God's so good to us. God's been so good, and he will continue to be good to us, providing our every need. By the way, just providing our needs, providing our wants, that he gives us the desires of our hearts. Remember that sermon by J.C. House years ago, some of you, when he preached on that? God gives us not just our wants, but many times gives us the desires of our heart. Man, how good is God? His many benefits, all his benefits. He is our creator and rightful owner of all things. And again, that's why the atheist calls himself an atheist. That's why we see so many who reject God, because they do not want to be accountable to a creator. They do not want to be under the authority of the Lord. He redeemed us. He bought us by his blood through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, and we ought to be thankful for that sacrifice. It's amazing how our creator became our savior. And then lastly, just remembering again why we should be thankful, or what we should be thankful for. As we stated this morning, we preached this morning, that we should be thankful for the good and the bad. That God works all things together for our good. That is a tough order to follow. Amen. We're to be thankful in all things. That's a command, by the way. Hello? Be thankful is a command. So we're to be thankful. It means that we're to be thankful in the good and the bad. Many of us have lived long enough to understand that past difficulties, by the way, we view past difficulties a little differently. I can look back and go, yes, I see why this happened, this happened, this happened. Now, sometimes I still can look back and go, I don't know. I'll find out in eternity why it happened. But most of the time, I can go back and go, oh, I see. I see what you were doing there, Lord. I see what you're doing there. You live long enough, you'll see that. God is good all the time. He knows the beginning from the end. And then, as I stated last Sunday night, we ought to think. In order to be a thankful people, we must think. We must think. The devil loves to get our minds off on all the negative stuff. The devil loves to get our minds off on all the possibilities and all the things that could negatively happen, and all the things going on in our world today that can negatively happen. And we need to remember that God's in control. God's in control. Think, God's in control. He's in control. Therefore, I need to be thankful. We are commanded to be thankful. Again, that word thankful and praise are very close. In the Hebrew, they're synonyms. So to be thankful is to praise him. Is to praise him. This is, by the way, uplifted hands is not necessarily praise, but we'll associate it with it. But we ought to be thankful, and therefore we ought to praise him. Praise him. Recognize all that comes from God. Recognize what he's done. And therefore it'll help you to understand the trials you do go through, And those trials will either make you bitter or better. It'll make you bitter or better. Understand the good and the bad. And it's a choice that you make to be thankful. A choice that you make. I used this quote a few years back, but I'll quote it again. It's been said that the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than houses. 7 times more graves than houses. They buried more, a lot more, than the houses they built. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving unto God. Everything comes from Him. We live in a world today where they have rejected God, who is clearly seen in creation. And therefore, they are unthankful. And therefore, God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. They're in darkness. Let's be a thankful people. Let's be an example of a thankful people. Let's all stand.